'Tis the season. It's Christmas season. Don't forget what this season's all about. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. We're excited about next week. Now, you do want to remember these next two weekends, it will be a 1 p.m. service only. There will be no classes at 12 o'clock. All right, so this weekend, 1 p.m., next weekend, the 23rd, 1 p.m., and we're going to have just a wonderful time celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ and what the Lord has come to do for you and for me. And I believe that this Sunday, I'm just believing for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. After all, that's what Christmas really is all about, is about Jesus coming and seeking to save those who were lost, and then His Spirit being sent, that Comforter. I'm thankful. Praise the Lord. So be excited about Sunday. Bring somebody. Call somebody. Bring a visitor. Amen. Let's have a wonderful time. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. We're continuing on our lesson that we began last week. We read, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." How many believe that God could still work through dreams? Praise the Lord. God can still work through dreams and visions. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just ask God to talk to us again tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I pray that you challenge us. Help us, God. Help us to grow in faith here tonight. I pray that you administer to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to focus our love and our worship and our praise towards you, God. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing that we feel in this place. I thank you, Lord, for the liberty to worship you. Oh, God, we are blessed tonight. We just pray that you would have your way in our lives and in this service. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but there's just a hunger in my heart. Would you just maybe just one more time, just lift your hands to the Lord and let God's Spirit minister and reach for you right now. I love you, Lord. We praise your name, God. Lord, we seek your face. We seek your will in our lives. We seek your blessing and anointing and your power in this house. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, glory to your name. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be continuing our lesson, Gifts for a King, Part 2. Gifts for a King. Here in our text, we see this battle between two kings in the lives of these wise men. Of course, King Herod and Jesus, the King of the Jews. The wise men had come seeking Jesus, and yet they are sidetracked by Herod, who was a very cruel and a very jealous ruler. He sought to find out where this king of the Jews was to be born so that he could have him killed. But the wise men were warned in a dream, and they did not come back to Herod to tell him about Jesus. And Herod, who was so very insecure, he flew into a rage, and he killed all of the children 2 years old and under that were in Bethlehem. Of course, Joseph had been warned by the angel of the Lord also in a dream to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt, and so they were safe. But in this experience for the wise men seeking Jesus, there was a battle between two kings in their life. And just like the wise men, there is a battle going on in every one of our lives. It is a battle to the death, in fact, between two kings in our lives. And the fact is, one king must die in order for the other to reign. Praise the Lord. Of course, it's our hope and our prayer here tonight that Jesus Christ would be Lord and King supreme in all of our lives. Amen. So we are looking at the gifts that these wise men and wise women would bring to a king. Last week we studied the first gift that was listed, gold. Gold. Gold was a customary gift that would be presented to kings. It had long been a prized commodity and was used as a medium of exchange. Gold, of course, represents money and possessions. And what a sobering portion of Scripture that we find in Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. And we looked in the Word of God at several in the Bible who had to make the choice. They were faced with a decision, and they had to make a choice about who would be the king of their lives, Jesus Christ or their money and possessions. Zacchaeus, of course, he made the right choice. He made the right choice and received the blessings of God. The rich young ruler did not make the right choice. Our handling of money is a true test of our character. How we handle money as an individual, as families, as leaders, as a church, how we handle money, that impacts everything else in our lives. And really, our stewardship of money and possessions, it becomes the story of our lives. And that has been the case all throughout history, but it's especially true in this generation of unparalleled prosperity. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Of course, the Bible teaches us how to win this battle within us when it comes to money. Tithing, which is 10% of our increase, and offerings, which are beyond the tithe, they help us conquer the king named Mammon in our lives. And wise men bring gifts to the king. They had to choose who was going to be king in their life. Was it to be the earthly king Herod, or was it going to be he that was born king of the Jews, Jesus Christ? And one of the most powerful ways that we all can choose who is Lord in our lives is through biblical stewardship. Amen. The second gift which the wise men brought was frankincense. Frankincense. Now, frankincense was a very costly and a very especially fragrant substance. It is made from a gummy sap that would ooze out of the boswellia tree when its bark was cut. And it has been produced for over 5,000 years, and it was an important commodity traded in a network between Africa and Asia and Europe even. When frankincense is burned, it gives off a sweet, and some describe it as a citrusy scent. It was often used in religious ceremonies It had many other valuable uses: insect repellent, perfume, medicine for wounds and sores. It was used in the embalming process of dead bodies. The Roman historian and botanist Pliny the Elder wrote in the first century that the valuable dried sap of frankincense had made the southern Arabians the richest people on the earth at that time. Frankincense at the time that Jesus was born could have been worth more than its weight in gold. Isn't that interesting? Making it a very costly and important gift which they brought to the Son of Man. Today, frankincense is an essential oil, and it's also been investigated as a possible treatment for cancers and bowel diseases, anxiety, and asthma, among other conditions. Some interesting facts about frankincense. The Roman Emperor Nero, he once burned an entire year's worth of harvest of frankincense at the funeral of his favorite mistress. Isn't that interesting? The Greek historian Herodotus reported that the gummy sap was quite dangerous to the harvest because of the venomous snakes that liked to live in the boswellia trees. To get around this problem, the Arabs would burn the gum of another tree, the sitax or styrax tree, and that smoke would drive the snakes away. To produce frankincense, they would make a slit in the tree, in the bark, and they would collect this white-colored sap that would flow out of the wound in the tree. This would then harden over 3 months into a gum that was then sold in hardened clumps of resin called tears. The Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians and the Israelites used frankincense as part of their religious ceremonies. To release its scent, it is either burned or smoldered over hot coals. Frankincense is mentioned 17 times in the Bible. The majority of these verses were in the ceremonies of the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 30 and verse 34, we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, stacked in onycha and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each there shall be a like weight." And this described the making of the incense that was burned in the tabernacle. When it mentions pure frankincense, it is referring to the free-flowing and the liberal giving forth of a sweet fragrance. So while it had medicinal purposes and while it was used for perfume, frankincense, the most important use was in worship. In the Old Testament, it was burned as a sweet savor unto the Lord. In fact, that phrase is mentioned 16 times in the book of Leviticus. Frankincense was burned on the altar of incense. It was burned in the meat offering. It was placed on the loaves of the table of showbread. And it was also taken behind the veil on that great day of atonement when the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies once a year. We read of the altar of incense in Exodus chapter 30, verse 7. "And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps, or at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations." Leviticus 6:15 speaks of the meat offering. "And he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering and of the oil thereof and all the frankincense which is upon the meat offering and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor, even the memorial of it unto the Lord." Leviticus 24:7 describes the rows of bread on the table of showbread. "And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Leviticus 16 and 12 describes what the high priest was to do on the Day of Atonement. "And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord. and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. It's possible, perhaps, that the Israelites used or learned how to use and prepare frankincense while they were slaves in Egypt, as the ancient Egyptians used it. Because of its association with sacrifices, frankincense in Scripture, it represents prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. One thing about prayer and worship, it must be pleasing unto God in order for it to be effective. And so that's why frankincense is associated there with the bread in the tabernacle, because prayer and worship must conform to the Word of God, which is the bread of life. And so frankincense relates also to prayer and worship in our lives. It is a gift that is so very valuable, a gift so very important for us to bring to our King Jesus. It was David who said in Psalms 141 and 2, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." When the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah to tell him about his wife Elizabeth, who was going to have a son who would be John the Baptist, we read just before that in Luke chapter 1, verse 10, "And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense." And the apostle John, he wrote of heaven in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." This idea presented here is of the memorialization of the prayers of the saints. I want to tell you, sometimes it may seem like God doesn't answer our prayers. Come on, can we be honest here tonight? Can we be real? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but there's some times when it seems like God just, he's a million miles away from where I'm praying. But I don't want you to be discouraged today in your prayer time, because the prayers of the saints are somehow saved up by the Lord. They are memorialized before God. He doesn't just cast them aside. He doesn't just cast them aside, but he stores them for the proper time. You can go over to Revelation chapter 8 and continue reading. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." Sometimes when we're praying, we may be hoping for an earthquake. We may be hoping for God's voice to thunder into our lives. We may be looking for lightning, an electrifying response, because God has just heard our prayer, but sometimes there's nothing. But you just read this scripture. Amen. Those prayers were saved before the Lord, and they were offered before the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor. And the smoke of that incense, it came up before God. And the angel took that censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. John mentions the prayers of all the saints, he says. And I think that needs to be taken to mean just that, the prayers of all the saints, all of those who are holy before God. The smoke of the incense, it mingles with the prayers of the holy saints of God, and a beautiful aroma fills the throne room. Some Bible scholars feel that this is the reason for that half hour of silence. One writer, in fact, called it the silence and thunder of prayer. the silence and thunder of prayer. Don't you ever underestimate the power of your prayer. Don't you ever underestimate the ability to change your world through prayer. Don't you ever underestimate the connection that you have with the Holy One of Israel through prayer. Everybody here needs to be so encouraged tonight to know the prayers of every saint, of every saint. They don't just disappear. They're not just discarded. They don't just leave our lips and then just fade into thin air, but they're kept in a vial or they're kept in a bowl, and every single one of them are remembered. No matter how small the prayer, no matter how quick or how long it was, no matter whether it seemed at the time if it was answered or not, every single prayer is remembered. It doesn't matter if it came from a situation of despair and desperation or if it was in a quiet moment of devotion. Every prayer is kept in that bottle. And in this time, in this celebration of the saints and of the angels in heaven, everything becomes totally quiet. While all of heaven senses and smells the prayers that have been prayed for centuries. What an awesome moment. What an awesome moment. Think with me today, the mixture, that mixture of prayers that will blend together in that moment in heaven. Prayers of those who gave their lives for Jesus Christ, martyred for their faith. The prayers of people praying for revival. Prayers of people praying for healing. The prayers of kings, the prayers of children, bold prayers, desperate prayers, prayers of repentance from sinners coming to God, prayers of mothers for lost sons and daughters, prayers of fathers for wisdom and guidance, prayers of young people that God would somehow use their lives, prayers for healing, prayers in the Spirit. All these prayers in this moment are released and mingled together. But the smoke and the smell fills the room, and for one half hour, all of heaven pays tribute to these powerful prayers. No doubt it'll be a very exciting thing for the saints to be reminded that they've contributed to that beautiful fragrance by their years of faithful prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Those who preserve through long trials with late night intercessory prayer. And now they're being repaid in this one half hour period of time. Prayers that humbled hearts in subjection to the Spirit of God are remembered. Let no one who ever prays ever consider it an empty and meaningless effort, because all the prayers are kept by the Lord. And in that moment, all of heaven will pay tribute to the prayers of all the saints as they're offered with incense in worship before the throne. That ought to remind some of us of our calling to prayer. Come on, that ought to challenge our hearts. That ought to drive some of us back to our altar of prayer. That ought to burden us anew to have a passion for prayer. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer has brought mighty kings to their knees. Prayer has shaken the foundations of nations. Prayer has transformed the most evil of hearts. Prayer has brought down walls and opened many doors. There is no telling all the effect of the prayers that you have prayed. You may not even see it today in the natural sense, but in the Spirit something happened and God began to work, and God is still working. I've come to encourage you here tonight. There's power in prayer. Even if we never see the full effect of it here on this earth, prayers never die. Prayers never disappear. They don't just fade away, but they'll come up before a memorial before God. Your prayer is making a difference. Keep on praying. Mama, keep on praying. Father, keep on praying. Young person, keep on praying, because God hears your prayer. Keep on praying for revival. Keep on praying for healing. Keep on praying for deliverance. Keep on praying for that neighbor, because it's making a difference. Hallelujah. If we're not praying, we are neglecting the most powerful thing available to us here on this earth. if we are not praying, we are ignoring the attention of heaven to our lives. We are missing the most dynamic force there is on this earth. We're brushing off the greatest opportunity that we have to come before the throne of God with the power to change our world through prayer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What kind of gift is fit for a king? Worship and prayer. If frankincense represents the sweet-smelling savor of prayer and worship as it comes up before the Lord, then it is a gift that every single one of us must bring to the King of Kings. If we're to be wise, then the example of these wise men should speak very loudly to our spirits today to call us back to prayer, to turn our hearts towards heaven in worship, to offer ourselves up to God in prayer and worship, to make a difference in everything we touch and do. Praise the Lord. Could it be that somebody here today has been called back to a lifestyle of prayer? Could it be that someone here today has never had that breakthrough and you've never really experienced the power of prayer for yourself, but God's saying it's available here tonight? I met with Brother Castile today, went by and visited with him, and he had a great, great testimony that he's been getting stronger, actually, and walked for some time today with a walker, and he was so excited. And he may be listening to our broadcast tonight. He told me a little story and said I could share it. But he said one day he was just there in his bed and could not, you know, get out of bed, and was kind of feeling down about things and was kind of praying, and he said he felt the Lord talk to him and said, "Well, if you'll do your part, I'll do my part." And so he determined, well, I'm going to start working. I'm going to start exercising, doing what I can. I may not be able to get up out of that bed, but I'm going to do what I can to start working with this therapy and this program. And he felt like God has been touching him, and he's had some success. So keep praying for him. I want to tell you, there's power in prayer. And if you'll do your part, if we'll do our part, I believe God will do his part. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, sometimes we talk about the power of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. We preach about the power of prayer, but we don't do our part to go pray. And then we wonder why we're going through the things we're going through. Come on, if you'll do your part, if you'll make a room in your life for prayer, if you'll get back to an altar of prayer, I believe that God will do his part and he will show up mightily in your life. He'll open doors that could never be opened. He'll heal bodies that are sick with disease. He'll touch minds that are so bound with sin. If we'll do our part in prayer, find you a prayer place. Find you an altar somewhere. Find you a closet where you can get away from everybody. You can push away from it all and say, God, I've got to get a hold of you in prayer today. Come on, make a commitment. In this new year, make a commitment. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray every day. You may not start out in an hour every day, but spend 5 minutes in prayer a day and say, God, I'm going to be faithful to a time of prayer. Let it build up to 15 minutes. Before you know it, you'll be so lost in prayer. Time will just kind of cease to exist as you're moved into a realm of the Spirit. There is power in prayer. Come on, I'm looking across this crowd tonight. Come on, can you believe? Can you imagine with me the power that God wants to perform and use in Springfield and the surrounding area? Students at MSU praying in their dorm rooms. Hallelujah. Come on, high school students, junior high students, elementary students praying in their schools, people praying on the job, people praying in their home. The power of prayer can shake this city. We're wondering how we're going to have revival. We're wondering how we're going to reach the lost. I tell you, every revival in history has always been started with prayer. Come on, we got to get a burden for it. We've got to let this passion get a hold of us. In this new year, we're endeavoring to do something in the month of January, starting on Sunday, January the 6th. We're calling the church to a time of fasting and prayer. And so that first full week of January, we're going to have a time of fasting together for challenging the church to go on a 7-day fast. Now, I want everybody to do what they're physically able to do. And I've mentioned it, you've got to make sure you're hydrated and all that. You don't want to hurt yourself. But we're also calling people to prayer, And so we're going to be having some sign-up sheets. And 24/7 throughout the week, starting on January 6th to the end of January, we're going to believe that God's going to help us cover every hour of the day for those weeks in prayer. And we would love for people to come here to the church to pray because it could be cold in January and we don't want to have to keep the sanctuary heated that whole time. We're going to make room in the foyer and perhaps the two closets on either side for people to come and pray. One might be a men's prayer room and one might be a ladies' prayer room. And we're going to see if we can cover every hour of the week in prayer for January 6th through the end of the month. And I want to challenge you. If you can't make it to the church, we understand. But sometimes if we're just, well, I'm going to pray at home, and then you know something comes up and we get busy and all of that, it's easy to forget. So if you can come to the church, that's what we want to do, and it'll be a little bit of accountability for us. But I'm believing, and I want you to believe with me, that God is going to shake the city of Springfield through this month of prayer. Praise the Lord. I believe that God has souls that He is already preparing. They're already being prepared for the work that He is going to do. And I believe that God is going to do some things through this time of prayer as we come before the Lord and we send a sweet-smelling savor up to Him. Now, it's going to take some help. As you think about how many hours are in a week. All right, is 160-something, I believe. So we're going to have some help here. That's a lot of hours of prayer. But there's some of you that perhaps could take the same hour for several days that week, and some of you maybe be able to do different times throughout the week. But we're going to believe that God is going to help us, and I want to see everybody involved. I want to see everybody involved. Amen, especially during some of those midnight hours, some of you men need to help us out. I don't want the ladies here praying by themselves, but men, we can take some of those midnight hours. And I believe God's going to open up a new realm in the Spirit to us through this time of prayer. In studying the symbolic meaning of frankincense offered to Jesus by the wise men, we see four words relevant to worship and prayer. The first is hot. Frankincense was burned on the altar, where the fire was never allowed to go out. God describes Himself in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous fire. He's a consuming fire and a jealous God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So our work is going to be tried by fire. There's only one foundation that's going to stand, and that is Jesus Christ. And whatever we build on that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, the fire is going to reveal what sort of work it is. Think about something with me today. If the work of our life, if what we accomplish with our life is revealing what we are and who we are, it's either worship or idolatry in God's eyes. We're either focused on Him or we're focused on what we want. And if He's not first, if there's anything that comes before Him, it can be an idol to us. When we speak of our worship and our prayer that comes up before the Lord, it ought to be hot. The last part of James 5:16 tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Somebody needs to stir up that gift of a prayer in your life. You need to stir up that passion of worship in your heart. Don't let your heart grow cold. Don't let your heart go cold. That's why they used to talk about those old time days of revival where there was a red hot revival and the power of the Holy Ghost was burning and lives were changed and people would go to service just to make fun of all those Pentecostals, and before they know it, they'd find themselves in the altar weeping and crying out to God because the red hot fire of the Holy Ghost got a hold of them. Don't let your heart grow cold. Don't let your walk with God be lukewarm, but be on fire with Jesus. Come on, if we're going to send up a sweet savor before the Lord like incense, we've got to be hot on fire for the Lord. The second word here is holy. Frankincense was white in color. It was a pure substance. Our prayer and our worship must come from a holy lifestyle, or else we are missing its worth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Did you know there are some churches in our world that they have literally become entertainment centers? Everything is staged. The services are completely choreographed and coordinated. The music is rehearsed so much, and the musicians are just really professional employees who work on a contract basis month by month until they're replaced or they move on to the next professional gig. Now, hey, musicians, y'all are awesome. Y'all deserve it one day. If we could pay y'all a salary and y'all just stay up here and pray and worship and practice all week, that would be amazing. But in some of these churches, it doesn't matter their lifestyle. It doesn't matter if they have a prayer life. It doesn't matter if they even prescribe to the teachings of the church. Not here at Harvest. If we're going to offer a sweet savor of worship unto God, we have to have a holy heart. Frankincense was white in color. It was a pure substance. It was a pure substance. Hey, I'm not saying we're perfect. In fact, none of us are perfect. But there's something about a musician. There's something about a singer. There's something about a preacher. There's something about a class teacher. That they don't just come offering something out of an unholy heart, but they find a way to a prayer room and they get themselves right with the Lord, and the Holy Ghost moves upon them and purifies them and purifies their mind, and then they deliver what God has given them, and it's out of a pure and holy heart. Oh, but Pastor, I've messed up along the way somewhere. How can I ever be pure again? David, after his sin, prayed in Psalm 51:7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But oh, how I love verse 11. And such were some of you. And such was I, but now we are washed, and now we are sanctified. Yes, now we are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If we want our worship unto God to be a sweet-smelling savor unto Him, then we need our hearts to be pure and holy. We need Him to wash us. We need Him to sanctify our souls. We need Him to justify us in the name of Jesus. I tell you today, when Jesus does it, when the blood of Jesus washes over you, it doesn't matter how bad the sin was. It didn't matter how long it went on in your life. It didn't matter how low the devil brought you. When the blood of Jesus washes over you, it cleanses it all. It washes you white as snow. I don't understand it, but I tell you, there's power in the blood. And if we want to give praise and worship unto God, we need to have a pure and holy heart that's washed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So our prayer and our worship, it needs to be hot. It needs to be on fire. Our prayer and our worship, it needs to be holy. The third word relating to frankincense here tonight is heavy. Frankincense had a very heavy scent to provide a sweet-smelling sacrifice. What does that mean? Well, if we think about it, the tabernacle was constantly filled with the smell of sacrifice. Smell of burning flesh. They needed that heavy scent of frankincense because there was that constant smell of burning flesh. Earlier this year, I preached one Sunday on the sheep and the goats. In that sermon, I related to one of the Jewish traditions, which is taught that depending on which way the wind was blowing from the tabernacle, the smell of the sacrifices offered up to the Lord would make it out to the flocks of the Israelites. Interestingly enough, that smell of worship upon the altar, which would have included the smell of frankincense upon the offering, that smell would not affect the sheep at all. But the goats, that was another story. The smell of the sacrifice, it was written, would cause the goats to stir, and they would begin to sneeze very uncomfortably until the wind shifted. Worship and prayer makes goats nervous. They can't stand that atmosphere where flesh is sacrificed to the Lord. But you can tell the sheep from the goats. The true followers of Jesus Christ, those sheep, they don't sit back and criticize others who worship. They don't try to hinder the moving of the Spirit of God. Worship doesn't bother them. The sheep love it. The sheep love it. They can't get enough of it. I tell you, there needs to be a heavy scent of frankincense coming from every one of our lives, mixed with the smell of the altar as our flesh is sacrificed before the Lord. Because if we're in our flesh, we can't please God. But this flesh has to be laid on the altar, and we've got to die out to sin, and we've got to die out to self and say, God, this life is not my own, but I've been bought with a price, and I'm yours today. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we're going to bring a gift to the King of our lives, if we're going to bring a gift that pleases Him, our flesh has to be put on the altar. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The fourth word relating to frankincense in our lives of worship and prayer is hurt. Hurt. That precious sap that was used to make frankincense was produced as a result of a wound in that tree. This is one of the reasons why it was a very appropriate gift to Jesus, who was wounded and died on a tree for all of us. The question for us here today is this: what do we do when we're wounded? In that moment, in that low point, in that valley, can we worship in the midst of being wounded? There was a man who lost 7 sons, 3 daughters, and all of his earthly property in one single day. We can find his story in the book after his name. And the name of Job has become synonymous with pain. Though the things that we go through most likely don't even compare to the depth of Job's pain, we can often identify with the sorrow that he faced. But often we miss Job's first reaction after losing it all. In Job chapter 1, verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. When he heard the news, the catastrophic news, he fell down and worshiped. Worship is usually most powerful when it's released from deep within our heart because of a wound that hurts so deep. That wound to many can be their destruction. They let it defeat them. They let it destroy them. But to others, it becomes an avenue for their worship to flow through. Frankincense would never be produced without the wound in the tree that allowed that valuable sap to flow and be collected and processed. And our greatest worship would often never have ever happened if it was not for some wound in our lives that allowed that sacrifice of praise to escape from us towards heaven. In Psalm 51, after the prophet Nathan confronted David's sin, David says, purge me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Later he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then notice what he says in Psalms 51:15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Today, the Lord's not looking for us to literally bring a sacrifice upon an altar. But the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart will God not despise. Praise through our brokenness. Worshiping even though we're wounded. Frankincense is directly related to hurt in our lives. What will we do with that hurt? What will that wound be to our life? Will it be a source of infection that destroys us? Or will it be a source of worship to come from us to God in in the midst of whatever hurt and pain we're going through. When you see somebody that is anointed in song, I tell you, usually it's somebody that went through some stuff. When you see a preacher that's used by God and God ministers through them and the gifts of the Spirit operate, it's usually not somebody that never had to fight any battles, but it's somebody that's gone through some hurt and they've experienced some pain. And I'm preaching to somebody here tonight, that wound, the devil meant it to destroy you, but if you will let God use it, it will produce a worship from your life that's more powerful than anything else could have produced, and God will do a great work through you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wonder if we could stand all over the house right now. And I wonder if we could lift our hands towards heaven. And I wonder if we could let a sacrifice of praise just come from our hearts. I wonder if there'd be some prayers lifted up to the Lord right now. God, I want to bring you some gifts. I want to bring you some gifts. You are our King. You are our Creator. You are everything to us. I want there to be a sacrifice of praise that comes from me. Oh, God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody needs to get back to the fire of prayer in your life. You need to have a hot prayer coming from your heart. Come on, you need to get back to a holy heart. You need to get back to a heavy sense of the presence of God. You need to let God take that hurt and produce something powerful through you. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you would do it. I pray that you would do it, Lord. I pray that you would minister. I pray that you would work in us right now for your glory, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, there's a moving of God's Spirit here tonight. Why don't we just reach out and link up with what God's trying to do for a little while? In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would let there be a fresh passion. Let there be a fresh passion burning within me, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sharabado moto ramo sopra. Hikilelele yanda yaralala basatra toro. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, I appreciate you responding in worship. I wonder if there'd be some of you just kind of start walking the aisles and lifting your hands to the Lord. Some of you would come to this altar and give a sacrifice of praise unto God right now. And let's see what God would do in this place. Come on, God is mighty. He is able. Lord, we praise you. God, we worship you. We give you glory in this house. We magnify. We give you a gift of praise and worship and prayer tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice for us. But God, I want to bring a sacrifice to you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. Blessed be your name, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. When the wise men from the east saw the star, they followed that star searching for the King of the Jews. They went before Herod, who did his best to destroy this new king. And then they went to Bethlehem. And we read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." There are two kings demanding our attention. There are two kings competing for our worship: the King of this world and the only wise King, the Lord of Lords. Wise men and wise women make the right choice about who to worship. When these wise men went before Herod, there's no record of them falling down to worship him. But when they came into the house where Jesus was, they fell down and worshiped him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There ought to be a heart of worship in every single one of us, that when we come into the house where Jesus is, there's a worship from deep within us that we cannot hold back, because he is the King of Kings and he is our Lord and he is everything to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We give you a sacrifice of praise. We give you a sacrifice, Lord, a sweet-smelling savor today from the depth of our heart. I pray that you would receive our worship. I pray that you would receive our praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm teaching a Bible study to some friends of ours, and believing that the Lord is going to help us to win them. And she is a backslider, and the rest of the family doesn't know anything. But they knew enough to ask me to baptize their family, and we baptized them a couple weeks ago, and we've been teaching them a Bible study. And last night, we were just sitting around after the Bible study and talking, and she mentioned her grandmother, who is still in the church, and she mentioned how those services, when she would invite her friends when she was growing up, and it always was that service that she invited friends, that her granny would get touched by the power of the Holy Ghost, would have her hair all piled up with bobby pins, and by the end of that service, it was all down. The bobby pins went flying. And she said, you know, there was something about their lifestyle. Jesus was everything to them. And they'd been through so much, but there was a heart of worship. I want to tell you, we don't need to lose that. We need to have a heart of worship that it doesn't, I'm not going to worry what people think. I'm not going to worry about who's watching me. I just want him to know that I love him. Amen. And he's everything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. God is good. God is good. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you tonight. We love and appreciate you so much. You do not want to miss this weekend. 1 p.m., let's come and have a great Christmas celebration. bring somebody that needs to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues for the first time. We're going to have a mighty, mighty great service. Amen. By faith in Jesus' name. God bless you.